Okay, I've got 1:35. We will reconvene in open session, picking up with item number 18 on our agenda for today, which is a workshop. We are very, very fortunate to have Alexis, and I always forget last name, McKinney. Yes, Alexis McKinney with Architexes, our vendor to develop and propose a master plan for the courthouse. And some pretty exciting news, I think. And we don't have necessarily a formal presentation, but I would ask Alexis to kind of go through the draft, hit some of the high points. And then I think there's maybe some questions you might have of the court on kind of which directions we need to focus on in getting our plan put together. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Alexis. And man, this is it's other than some more bees that we found
just in the eagle, evidently, I think.
that
Thank you all for having me today and for taking this workshop to go over some of these tedious things. I've brought some components of the master plan that are related to the future use of the courthouse. Judge Miller has had me look at a short-term approach and a long-term approach is how we're thinking of it. And how to utilize the courthouse. So the short-term approach is to think about the courts remaining, basically the same departments that are in there currently, keeping the 440th and county court law and everyone over there, and what improvements can be made in the space planning that's there. And the long-term approach would be to consider moving the courts out of the courthouse and going to an approach that the THC prefers, which is to have commissioner court and the county judge office in the courthouse. So those are the two approaches that we'll get to. So I've got stacks of things in here. What I'll start with is with the big image on here. So this is a part of the assessment where we came and looked at the building in November. I've put an executive summary here on the second page with some bullet point items. What I generally want to say is that the courthouse is in excellent condition. There are minor, there's one structural concern. And of course, it needs new HVAC, it needs to be fire sprinkled, that sort of things that you're aware of, right? But we didn't see any other emergencies that were happening over there besides needing the things that I'm sure you were aware of. So this list that's here, it identifies the fire safety concern, which would be fire sprinkling. And that would be a part of the approach for the courthouse to meet building code. There's an accessibility concern, which is only there because accessibility codes have changed since those modifications were done. And while it met ADA in 87, it no longer meets ADA. The third item is basement rising damp and efflorescence. So this is the biggest impact that we saw. In the basement, you've probably seen the dusting that's on the floor continuously. What we identified is that the cause of that is a constant moisture that's present underneath the building. There's a well that's in the basement that we know of that's got a sump pump in it. So we know that there's a water source that exists. So it likely keeps the ground moist underneath it. The foundation walls are sitting on a wider stone slab under each of those walls. The stone is just letting the moisture soak up through the wall. So the rising damp is moisture soaking up into the wall. Usually it goes to 3 or 4 feet up the wall. And as it evaporates out of the wall, it will leave salts on the wall. So a couple, if you have attached the structural assessment that goes over some of this, so they call it efflorescence. They put a picture of the brick chimney in here with the white salt deposits. That's what that is. It's the moisture evaporating out of that brick, leaving the salt deposit. With the rising damp, what ends up happening is that the mortar, which for that building should be a lime-based mortar, which is softer than our modern mortar, which has a higher Portland content. So in that wall, the mortar is softer than the rock, the limestone. So the mortar will deteriorate first. And so the dusting we're seeing is the mortar deteriorating and possibly some of the salts. Some of the repointing that has happened over there, and you see it in the hallway of the basement, where they repointed with a darker mortar that has a heavy sand content, you'll notice it now that I pointed it out. But that was done with a higher Portland content. That is harder than the limestone. And so where that is present, the limestone will deteriorate. It's just whatever is the weakest material is going to deteriorate with the moisture. So that moisture is hitting the Portland mortar and it's sitting in the limestone, and then the limestone deteriorates.
So regardless of the materials that we have in there right now, they're the natural material, the original materials, they're going to deteriorate because of the water that is infiltrating from below ground.
We can't turn the water off. It's not. We don't think it's
Yeah.
due to a leak, right? Because of that well being present in the basement, it appears to be natural, a natural source, spring probably. And this is very common. I was showing Judge Miller a link to Lee County where they were addressing this issue and the underpinning of the foundation walls. And that courthouse is 1898. Same exact issue. So how you fix it, and this happens a lot in New York City, other buildings that have solid masonry perimeter walls, is that you replace that stone footing with a concrete footing, and then it stops the moisture. So they call that underpinning. And so what they will do is they'll dig down and they'll do 3 foot sections at a time all along the wall to put in that footing of concrete and take out the stone. That would be all walls, exterior, perimeter, and interior, any load-bearing wall that's masonry. And that would stop the moisture from rising up the wall. That's a very extreme solution, but it'll solve the problem forever. There's other ways to address it. I mean, so that's over here on extreme. Another way that dressed is viewed as a maintenance item to be addressed continuously. And first, we would want to remove all of that high Portland mortar. And we want to put in a lime-based mortar so that the mortar is softer than the limestone, so we're not deteriorating the stone. So we fix that issue. And then we'd put together a cycle of and work with the structural engineer of how frequently we want to do it, but you'd have to replace that mortar because the mortar would continue to degrade. So I don't know if that's 3, 5 years, whatever, you'd have to budget for a repointing exercise. So that's the worst that's the worst item, but you have some options to think about, right?
Would they have to pair it? I think didn't Lee County, didn't they pair when they put all those concrete? Did they pair those two or
I didn't see pairing. I saw a website from the structural concrete cell that did the work, and they said they were finding voids under the building as well. So I know that they definitely had to address. So I'm betting those piers are probably about that, those voids that they found. The structural engineer in the assessment, they also offer sort of a middle approach, which may be doing the underpinning to the wall that the public interacts with the most, right? So that maybe you do the public corridor walls in the basement, and then you do the maintenance repointing on back of house walls. There may be a way to not have to go whole hog and do the underpinning for all of them, because it will be a pricey. And as a part of the master plan, we will price for 100% underpinning, and then we'll also look at repointing, so you have an idea of what those would be. Not to start off with the worst thing in this, but that was the worst thing that we came up with. Other items that are in the assessment will be roof leaks. I think you all are probably aware of it. It seems like the mechanical connections of the sheet metal have failed. And so right now, the sheet metal is dependent on the liquid applied roofing. And you can visually see where that liquid applied roofing has failures on the domes and such, right? So ultimately, the sheet metal joints need to be repaired. That's going to be the long-term solution. And the liquid applied is just going to get you another, you know, the lifespan on that. And it's a difficult surface anyway. Another thing to just be aware of is the concrete slabs in the building. So this is all floor slabs. Not the basement, because that was poured later, but the first, second, and third, it's cinder concrete. And and you can see in the basement on the underside when you're looking up that it's a dark black color. So it has a higher cinder content in it, which made it lightweight, which is why they were using it. The concern on that is that cinder concrete is highly susceptible to moisture. You just want to be aware that if any leak is discovered, you want to fix it immediately, that there's a concern on its structural integrity when it's exposed to moisture over a long term. Luckily, you guys don't have any roots. Where I've had seen it where it's on the roof, and then it becomes a real there was a concern about the bell attachment, and that the connection has become partially detached. That's something that I've added to this list. And then site handrail replacement. I think this is along accessible routes and maybe from the south. It doesn't have the 12-inch extensions that code currently requires. That's all the comment involves. It's just along the busiest entrances to the courthouse to upgrade those handrails to meet building code. But that was it. Those were the assessment concerns. The list following is just using it in the THC's language. So they ask for a list of endangerment items. I don't want this to sound like it's all negative, but this is how the THC categorizes things. And it's not this bad. I just want you to know that we're just putting it in the way that the THC uses it. So going to the following pages, I just included the structural engineer's assessment sheets. So we'll continue to fill these out for the architectural ones as well, which the courthouse's integrity for architecture is great. It's amazing that so much of it is original. It's fantastic. The next stapled item is I've included a building analysis for the current courthouse, and then anticipating a future restoration. So some of the things, what this shows you is where it struggles with the current building code compliance. But it also gives you some like total gross square feet. On the back page, it has the list of non-compliant items requiring covered official approval and variance. Now you guys will have to tell me who your code official will be. Sometimes it's the county judge, sometimes it's the city building code official. Whomever that is, we can go, so the existing building code allows for historic buildings to have a compliance report with the local building official and come to an agreement on the approach.
So Alexis is, you know, trying to dumb it down into my terms. An interlocal agreement between the city of Gatesville and the county as to who would be that person, so that we're kind of, so they've got some coverage on their side, and then the county is also covered in with respect to those variances. Is that kind of?
Yeah, I guess it's if the county would have the fire marshal review, if we want to submit a report to the fire marshal for
okay.
compliance, or some counties, we don't do any of that. Because they don't have to comply with the city. You all can tell me how you want to approach that. What I will develop is a letter for per the existing building code that has here are the concerns, compliance concerns, and here's our approach that we would suggest. And of course, none of this will mean anything until there's actually a construction project. But I think it's good to have a planned approach for that. So the building, the main fire egress stair is open. And there's, you know, one primary fire egress stair. And that's typical for county courthouses in Texas. And usually when being renovated, we add a fire sprinkler system. We say that the safety of the courthouse is being improved from how it's been for the past, you know, 100, 110 years, right? That we're improving the safety of the building. And so then we should be able to continue to occupy, you know, as it has been. So on this back page, I've got the non-compliant items, if you're following the strictest letter of the code, but existing building code allows for this this compromise item. So we've got a vertical opening, so interior exit stairways are not enclosed. Exit stair requirements, so the cast iron stair, the main stair, there are portions of it where it goes down to 36 inches clear. Code requires 42. But we've got two of those. So overall, we have more than 42 inches of clearance, right? But just not in together. We're using the spiral stair as our second means of egress. That's a common courthouse concern. And a lot of times it's not a problem because that's been the second means of egress forever as well. And then we've got a three-story open atrium that's open to the egress stair. But I think adding the fire sprinkler system is what makes this a viable approach. So that's what would be recommended for that. So that's the code analysis. You'll see in the programming plans that we look at is that as the restrooms get renovated to meet ADA, the count gets reduced for the number of toilets because you can't fit the clearances that you need in those restrooms. And so I've got a layout to add additional restrooms in the courthouse that I'd like you all to consider, or tell me you're not interested. The last small item I've got is the programming, which is really just us interviewing the departments to see how many people they have and how much storage they have and what room it's in. And so we interviewed everyone in the courthouse, and then we interviewed here the treasurer and the auditor and the county judge as well. So what I would ask is if there's any other departments that I need to interview as we look at the plans that may potentially fit into the courthouse. With these, this programming list, so it's asked for their existing space usage, and then it's asked for any expected growth over the next 5 to 10 years. If you see anything incorrect, let me know too, and I'll get it corrected. And then the last item that I'll buzz through real quickly is I've included a set of existing plans that we developed with that Matterport scan. So this is that first larger set of drawings, the site plan, and then we started to do the tower as well. They're a work in progress, right? We're always finding something to fix on them. We've got that Matterport scan out on the internet that I probably need to reshare a link to, but you all can use that to walk around it. It's been really helpful for us not being local, that we can just hop on there and check a room out. As we get those plans finally corrected at the end of this master plan, we'll share these in large format, CAD files, whatever you guys would like. And then when you're ready, we'll move on to the last two larger sets, which are the short-term and the long-term drawings. The short-term drawing should be the first one. Is the current departments that are over there. They would remain. It addresses making the restrooms in the basement accessible, so it reduces it to one toilet. We tried to get two in there as much as we could. It wasn't possible. In this basement level, we've added a break room, a common break room. I don't know if that's really needed. Everyone's got their own refrigerator in their office and a coffee maker. Sometimes you can eliminate that in the office and add a second occupant to it and have a common break room. But this would be a good location for a break room if we wanted to show a common one. It removes the former commissioner courtroom that was over there and opens it up for the county clerk for additional storage. On the first floor, there's really not much of a change. In the bottom right-hand corner, I've got a county judge having a small office there at the exterior and having pretrial services into that other half of it. On the second floor, there's no change. And on the third floor, there's almost no change. I didn't change the restroom on the third floor either. There's no way to get additional restrooms in there. On the short term, the only real change that may be possible, and you all can tell me if this even makes sense, is it seems like the one department that may not be as closely tied to the courts is probation, and that they seem to be in conflict maybe with the courts. They needed a waiting area for the families that are there. They have a noise conflict with the district courtroom. The only, you know, major change for the short term that we could see would be moving probation elsewhere. You want to jump to long term real quick, and then you'll get all the info, and then we can discuss. So next set, long term. This would be if the court functions were removed from the courthouse. I know a lot of these courthouses, the concern is security, and having the court functions in the courthouse creates that security concern. And so being able to remove them can help eliminate that concern for the building. So that's what we had looked at for this long term. So the long term, the basement restrooms are the same. We're down to one unit with a stall, so you could have somebody waiting in there. On the first floor, we've got the courtroom on the first floor reoriented to the historic arrangement. I'm showing the front of bar area like it was historically, but I don't know that that's what's right. The other approach would be that it would have a desk at the judge's position, and then we'd put two historic tables next to it and set it up for commissioner's court. We'd have the rail where it's shown, and then we'd set up a commissioner court with the reconstruct the judge's bench and two historic tables. I think that would be the alternative for it.
If what she's talking, and I don't know if you've been inside Bell County's historical courthouse, their commissioner's court is set up very similar to what she's talking about. It used to be the old county court, and they now have a dais that's where the commissioners sit, but there's some tables that are down in front of it, kind of where you would see the one table with the two chairs in that kind of railed off area. I think that's kind of what you're alluding to kind of make that more of a functional courtroom for a commissioner's court.
Yeah, and there's so many of the historic tables over at the courthouse. I think it would be great if we could use them as a part of the court setup for commissioner's court. And we could build a dais as well, but incorporate as many of those into the court setup as long as they're refinished and have a nice top, right? I think that would work. So with the commissioner courtroom, I've got an executive session room there to the left, the county judge executive assistant with the county judge on the left-hand side. I have The conference room 104, so that's a conference room slash historical commission meeting room with the vault in that room. Jumping across the south entry, I've got two commissioner offices there. And then jumping across the east corridor, I've got the clerk offices, which I don't have an occupant for in this layout. And so that's a question mark for me. And you'll see that this is the unoccupied area is the clerk, which is quite a bit in this first floor and the basement in this layout. So
I'm just kind of spitballing at this point. Room 117, I don't believe, was originally connected to 118.
Okay.
I believe that's a cut in that wall. Would you agree, Ms. Newton? So looking at, you know, kind of future use, what we're kind of planning things out at, I think it might be worth considering 117 as a commissioner's room. So now we've allocated three of the four.
But 125, there's two offices there.
Well, I think, I'm not sure that that's an original wall separating those two. I'm saying that off the top of my head. I don't know whether that is or is not an original wall. But if, and much like if you see the one where pretrial services is, if you look on the other plans, you'll see that that corner is cut. That's not an original wall. That diagonal right there.
On the existing plans, we've got them kind of color coded. So at least if there's a color to it or a hatch, it'll show that it's not original.
And I think we emailed those to all of you. So you've got those, access to those.
And if you've got any insight on who, what departments were originally in parts of the building, let me know. Or if you disagree with something on them, let me know, because some of this is like doing a puzzle blindfolded. Well, let me jump to the second floor and see if anything else jumps out. So the district courtroom we're showing as a ceremonial courtroom, and we do have those drawings for the floor plan for the court layout. I do think that the desk that's in 209, I think that is a judge's bench desk. I don't know if it was from county court or from district court, but it could go in either location. So we're showing that as the judge's bench here. One of the roll top desks was used for the clerk position in front of the judge's desk, and then it had this rail built around it.
And I think I know where there's a roll top desk.
There's a couple of them over there.
Yeah.
So we're showing that there in front of the judge. And any piece of where you see the H, that means it's historic and it's currently over there. Going to the left, so we've got a two-office suite for a visiting judge. And then 203, using that as a conference room, similar how it's used now. And then on the west side would be the treasurer offices. And I've got HR, that maybe that'll be its own department, but right now it's under the treasurer's department. So we've got each of those labeled. The treasurer's office would then have access to that vault that's there. And then on the third floor, on the west side, I've got two commissioner offices, but if we get one downstairs, that solves one problem, so we'll find the other, the best place for it downstairs. The restrooms, and then moving to the east, we've got the auditor. With this layout, the auditor would have to go down to share the vault with the treasurer, or I would need to fit the auditor into the county clerk's space so they could use the vault there. And then the last two pages, we're thinking that what starts to happen is the building becomes light on restrooms and accessible restrooms. They're kind of awkwardly spaced as it is. One of the best locations for restrooms, just in its proximity to existing plumbing chases, would be to locate it there in that, right now it's that conference room. Because the plumbing chase is happening in that vault 107. So we wanted to see what it could look like to have an accessible restroom on the first and second floor in addition to the basement. So this was a potential layout. So you're at least getting one sex on each floor with an accessible restroom.
Does this eliminate the women's restroom that's kind of an employee restroom on the first floor? And that, because you just have an X right there. It's that.
Well, yeah. So I don't have confirmation from MEP. I'm concerned that we may need that position for ducting.
Okay.
Usually we'll need a chase in each quadrant. They haven't told me it has to go away. So I'm trying to show you a worst case scenario, and I hope to make it come back in this plan.
No, that's fine. That's kind of, it just stood out at me because there wasn't a something there.
Yeah. No, I hope that it will remain, and I'm afraid that they'll want that for a chase. But I wanted to show you guys the other plan and not scare you with the restroom plan. But this would be a way to get a public restroom on that first and second floor that's accessible. Well, I think my questions for today are if you want to show the THC a short-term and a long-term plan, I think it's a good approach. It gives you direction for how to remain with the courts in the building and show the THC that, and it tells the THC that you're maybe working towards a future of different departments in the courthouse. And we don't know how far out in the future that is. And then we've got some unoccupied space in this long-term plan. And if there is a department that you think would be a good fit for that, and if I should interview them. Or is that archive? Doug Miller, you're talking about having an archive over there, or a records archive. So I plan on that.
I don't want to put words in, I shouldn't say it that way. I would defer to Ms. Newton with records archives in the basement. I believe that there are numerous people that go down there that they like the feel of doing research down there. There's, you know, just the historic records blended with the historic courthouse, I think, is a is a good fit. But that ultimately means that you or one of your successors down the line is effectively operating in possibly a new building and the courthouse. So I'd welcome your input as to how you thought about that, and you know, that does, I think, make an effective use of the space. It also keeps activity in and out of the building, and it's my belief that we don't want to turn it into a museum. And the more areas that we can get regular, sustainable traffic in and out of there, I think is a good use of the space, and then would, you know, reduce a space and a storage need in a new facility. So
that's what I would do. Leave them open, and we can send staff and everyone who want to research. That's what I may do is have you or talk with you about how much of a footprint that may be.
I appreciate y'all sending the copy that y'all did to me for the, I'm working on some security stuff for the 2nd and the 4th floor that they asked me to do, so appreciate the floor plan. I tried drawing it, and I was...
You're not very artistic.
No. More. Yeah. I was getting there, but
you're autistic.
Yeah, I know. I was getting there, but it was taking forever. But I do appreciate that. I'm not done, but you know, they're not in a hurry.
Yes, thank you. Yeah.
Honestly,
it was very helpful.
Yes.
Now, when are you going to get the bees out? Yeah. We'll run you up on that ladder. Get them out.
Well, I'm hung from rope from them. A lot worse places than that. That's what I'm saying. I'm
saying we'll get you up there and get started.
I'm welcome. Let me know when I'm not representing right? Because this is the plan for Coryell County, and you know, I've just made a guess, right? Yeah. I fully anticipate I didn't guess. Right,
100%.
Please let me know.
I mean, I can't say that I've ever sat down and reviewed a detailed set of plans this way. So it's almost one of those, at least from my standpoint, I don't know what I don't know. You know, you did touch on, you know, kind of what the historical rooms are. And I've never seen a document. So everything that I know is anecdotal. It might be worth our while to call in Judge Jones. She's a former JP. Her husband, Bo, is Bo still?
Yeah.
But then we need to call Bo in to say, what does he know? Because he would have been an employee prior to and after the 87 renovation. Judge Ziegler, I think we've mentioned a little bit. He's told me some anecdotal. So, you know, his background, Judge Ziegler was the 52nd district judge. His father, Floyd, was the county judge in the 40s. So from, again, an anecdotal standpoint of direct lineage, he's identified some of the offices that I didn't know. First floor where Judge Lee currently is and his bailiffs, he expressed to me that that was the county attorney's office.
Let me share one thing, and I don't have this written down in the packet, and this is what I was sharing with Judge Miller before. This is just a napkin ballpark number, but cost-wise for a full restoration, say the Coriel applied for a grant and had a restoration set together, right? The THC increased their funding to $10 million this past year. And so that's what they've been giving, right? So Coriel would receive $10 million. It's 25,783 gross square feet. And we're seeing a range between $500 a square foot and $700 a square foot. 500 for the larger courthouses and 700 for the smaller ones, basically. So that puts you in a, for the 500, which I think is probably closer to Coriel, and we'll have an estimate as a part of this process, but the napkin estimate would be 12.8 million to 18 million. And then the 10 million THC contribution.
Commissioner Basham, you're tasked to fundraise for 2.8 to anywhere from 2.8 to 8 million. And I'm going to go ahead and schedule that update on our next Commissioner's Court meeting.
Okay.
If you just let us know where we stand on that.
You bet.
That,
that's a big number.
We'll narrow it down as this process goes along. I'll get Phoenix One Restoration, a contractor that we work with a lot, to do the estimate for us. So that will get us to the correct ballpark for whatever. And there's, I think, maybe less work than with other courthouses, so I think we'll be closer to the 500 a square foot number.
You just need to shoot for about 4 to start with.
Right.
No, shoot for 8. We've got some left over. We'll just.
It's going to be 10 and 10. A lot of scraping.
All right,
I'll
leave it in the downer.
Well, that's the first priority, though, is getting rid of the beef. So there's some priorities that we can definitely address. There ain't no way to go redo the eagle if you ain't got the bees down.
You better save that eagle.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, I'll redo the eagle if you'll go get the bees out.
You
know
what?
I said, I'll redo the eagle if you go get the bees out.
But you get the eagle down.
Personally.
You get the eagle down.
Well, I mean, there's some deep family ties to the gentleman that sculpted that eagle. And I don't think you want to upset them. It would be my guess. I mean, I'm just.
I ain't mistaken.
What's that?
That's up to your kid vote.
No, not mine.
What's your letter from your dad's side?
Not to the Nesbitts or the Hunts. No. They were good friends of ours, but the eagle really does have some deep connections. And Alexis, I might have conveyed that to you, that I don't know when it got shot up or how it got shot up or whatever. When they did the 87, there's a local sculptor that he was commissioned to do that. And matter of fact, if you're ever at the Texas Ranger Hall of Fame over in Waco, he did the sculpture of the cowboy out, Texas Ranger on the horse outside of it. He's got some larger sculptures up in the DFW area. I mean, he's pretty talented individual. And his family had the auction barn that is now Coryell Community Church up on the hill. That so anyway, that's kind of a sidebar. Could you touch on just a little bit because I'd like for them to hear it, because it was news to me that apparently two of the statues that are up there are not original. And I'll let you kind of talk that piece if you would.
Yeah, I think the museum has a great display of the photos, but we've been talking about how strange it is that the Liberty statues, they're diagonal on each other. There's one on the southwest and one on the northeast, and they were both removed. I don't have the date in my head of when that happened, but they appeared to be damaged during storms. But just the justices, the liberties, are original and remain. So a lot of the photos over at the museum, you'll see the justices, you know, with the scales. But for some reason, the other ladies are gone. Pretty early in the photos, they're both gone. So something about the shape of them or something, because we're seeing a lot of evidence of storms probably coming from the west, that there's more aggressiveness in the north and the west on the building. And I know that we've got the window in the district courtroom that pops out, right? The sashes pop out because of heavy winds. So that's definitely taking the storm brunt over there. So that makes sense for the one on the southwest, but I don't understand why the northeast is gone. But so the ladies that are out there now are from 87, and we do have a shop drawing for them, but I don't have the material mix on them. And they're also the two ladies that are having the worst coating failure on them. So I suspect that the coating is not reacting well with the base metal that they're made out of. It's not withstanding as well as it is on the original goddesses.
And I thought that was important for y'all, because I know I get...
It makes sense because...
I get lots of comments about, you know, the aesthetics and you know, when are we going to get those repainted? And there's a lot of times I don't have answers to, you know.
Well, we got a boat order to cost for them to be fixed. That was $480,000.
Well, we're going to.
$480,000
I'll defer to Architexes and kind of what they might steer us towards.
Absolutely. I might be jumping off topic here, but when we get this in place, in my opinion, and there are certain things that I think we need to address sooner than later, can we do that with this master plan in place? Can we go out for to say maybe the domes are a concern of mine with water damage, because it's hurting the courthouse, you know, bringing more damage to it on drains. Is there like stuff like that or not, the mortar issue you're talking about? Can we like maybe focus at that and maybe go after some kind of funding?
Yes. You won't get it from the THC, basically, right?
Mm-hmm.
They will fund it as a part of a full restoration. But they will fund it as an emergency grant.
Right.
And then that's a 50-50 match.
Oh.
So one thing to think about, so Coryell will do really well when it does go for funding because of the age of the building and it being a Dodson courthouse, right? That it's one of six left. it will be very competitive when it does that, right? I don't want to say that you'll win, but you'll probably win, right? Just because of that alone and how great the integrity is. The way that the grant funding works is that you could apply for what they call a planning grant, which gives you money to fund the restoration design documents so that you have a restoration drawing and spec package. And then with that in hand, you would apply for a construction grant. So each one of those is a 2-year cycle. So now you're 4 years out. And then you would be ready for construction. If it's possible, you can jump. You can save 2 years in that process and fund drawings for the restoration and then have it be a part of the construction grant because it's money spent on the courthouse, right? But you would have to be able to fund those drawings and then be reimbursed when it gets funded for construction. Just thinking in long-term planning, right? And then the other thing that's out there is if and when the courthouse gets restored, you have to have some place for everybody to go temporarily, which often ends up being a county annex. And maybe you have space or maybe you don't, right? But that's something that you may need to plan for.
So scenario one would be that, and I think this was kind of in our original discussions, is that our master plan would be ready to submit to the THC this summer, which then potentially puts us, depending on how quickly they would act on it, potentially puts us in a position to be able to apply for the planning grant for 2025 as well. Is that?
I gotta get my legislative years assigned. So they just announced in 24, so it would be 26.
Okay.
So they'll get their funding package in this legislative year to award in July of 26.
Okay.
So we'd submit our master plan this summer, right. It would get approved, and you'd be ready to apply. And that usually happens in March, April of 26.
We would receive that funding, potentially receive that funding, which would then put us in a position to apply for the construction restoration grant in 2028.
Yep. And those are usually 2 years of construction nowadays.
So would it be realistic to, so again, trying to look at the timelines, and we've got the construction drawing, or we've got the drawings, that would be part of our RFQ that we would submit to qualified individuals out there to base their, you know, cost analysis on. So is it realistic to then think that first part of either late 2028 or first part of 2029, we could then, I mean, that project would begin.
Yeah, the THC will give you, I think standard, they give you 6 months to be under contract, but I've been on projects where they've granted extensions, right? It's available, you know, up to a year to get that contract signed with the contractor.
Yeah, okay. And then with option B is that we have our plan submitted 2025. And
Well, we really can't jump the gun with this one. Yeah.
There's we can't get the drawings done before the grant cycle of 2026 comes around.
No. So this tells us that if the court decides it would be best to pursue a clean deed grant in 26.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to go play the lottery and make a tax deductible.
At least the planning grant is a much smaller threshold, and then you'll have drawings in your hand. You could pick scope out of that and accomplish scope as needed, from that drawing set. I think it puts you in a good position to do whatever you want with those drawings, whatever you need, right? Whatever the building needs.
But so in that, so we're just as we talk here, so 2028 is the first time that we would, potentially have, a large amount of money coming in. So between now and 2028, I think you'd mentioned within the master plan there would be, especially, but I'm addressing more of the mortar degradation within the basement, and that a maintenance plan in there that maybe doesn't quite go to the degree of underpinning, but what can we do reasonably on our own until we get to a larger scale project under some grant funds or something like that. So we would have that as a tool to be able to address some of our maintenance issues as they are today.
Yeah, and that repointing work, we can assist with a recommendation on the mortar mix and repointing work. There's going to be plenty of local tradesmen that would be qualified to do that.
Yeah. Okay. Questions or other things from the court? David, anything? Okay. All right. Alexis, I don't want to keep here unnecessarily. That's wonderful. I'm excited. I'm encouraged. Obviously, there, in the first summary piece, there are some things that we certainly need to address. But just to kind of see the drawings. That's just impressive in itself. So thank you.
To come together. I know it seems like we haven't been doing too much. There hasn't been much of a product yet, but it's going to start to come together. But I think on the programming, the short term and the long term, that's what I would appreciate your input on in what you want the TOC to see.
All right, well, I don't want you to make any snap decisions, but based off of what she's presented, is there anything, in short term that you see is out of line, that you're just not comfortable with at all?
I haven't seen anything. I just think the long term is a lot of money.
Yeah.
Recorded again, unfortunately. Yeah. Even though there's rough throws and lots of need, but yeah.
Journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step.
Yeah, I don't know who ever thought that mortar was a good idea. I mean, Vice can fill right after it, though. I'm sure that was a maintenance. Not there. That was long for you, brother. That was for Dr. Don Jones. Now, Don was around, but he didn't do it. Anyway.
I think there's good news in that there's options on it, right?
Yeah.
You can do the maintenance approach, or you can just go whole hog and fix it, either way.
But the exterior basement and the dusting and the chinking coming out and saying that does bother me. You been in that basement. I mean, you stick your finger in that rock and that hole.
Well, and one thing, all the courthouses have it. You put latex paint over it, and you're trapping moisture behind that latex.
Yeah.
It's best to do, we've been doing a lot of the mineral coatings. Yeah. It allows it to breathe.
Yeah.
But that's what you're seeing down there is the latex trapping the moisture behind it, and then it just bubbles.
Sure.
Get bashing a couple of wire brushes when I get started.
like
one in each hand, bashing. Wax on, wax off, Mr. Miyagi. Getting out there now.
I mean, I think the good news out of it, though, is, potentially this summer, when we get the lime-based, recipe for, the mortar, and we can, we can address areas, the worst areas, as we go.
And fix them correctly.
Yes. And then, as if you look at it as a progressive thing, well, then we look at, where can we start removing paint down there and then putting those coatings. So now I'm decreasing the amount of moisture that's trapped in there. And if one of us does win the lottery, then ultimately we look at the underpinning of it. Because that's, from what I understand, it's going to be a large expense, but
deterioration of the building.
You're fixing the problem. So, I mean, because even if we went in right now, let's just say hypothetically, went in, somebody wrote us a check and we went in and we underpinned it. Well, underpinning does not replace the mortar that's missing. And it doesn't remove the, higher content Portland, so there's still those things that we're going to have to address, at some point, even if the underpinning is done. So to take the things that we can do from a reasonable budgeting standpoint, and work that in as we're addressing the other things that are going to have to be done. I think that would reflect well if we're talking about, being set up for 2028 and, we submit our application to the THC for the big grant money to say, hey, look, we didn't wait on you. We got the master plan done, and then we took the steps that we could reasonably take based off of executing the master plan, following it. And so now we want you to give us extra money. For hours, like 14 million. Because why not?
I can just say no.
Yeah.
No, that's great. I mean, they increased the number to 10 this past time. You never know.
But so,
I've been told no a million times, and I'm still alive. So.
Do you know how many of the original golf courthouses there was?
Of the Dotson one, there were 15.
15, okay.
And 6 are remaining.
That's it, okay.
And I think 15. This is the last one to be restored.
Really?
So I think that's another reason why it will do really well scoring wise. The other big ones are Denton. And Bannon. Bannon was done recently, but it was refaced in modern, 1920s, so they had to reface it again. Those are the two recent ones that have been.
Didn't you say Hood County, Granbury? Isn't that
That's
a Dodson? Yeah.
Yep. And that one was restored pretty early in the courthouse program, early 2000s for that.
So that's, and then ours, that's four of the six that are remaining. So there's two floating out there that I don't have them all written down, but.
Not important.
There's one in particular. It's really important right now. Well, again, Alexis, thank you. I mean, it's just, I'm just totally impressed. I mean, really. And I know y'all have done a lot of work behind the scenes to get to this point. And I appreciate that as well. But I'll give one more opportunity. Anyone from the court? Parting words?
Sometime this summer. When this is...
No, I think in the next 30, 45 days, we'll have.
Yeah.
Is that a little too aggressive to say that?
Working towards submitting our first draft to the THC, one thing that's slowed me down a little bit, I don't know if you remember the interview where I was here with Juan Ramon. He passed away in a car accident over Christmas.
Mm.
Yeah. So he was doing the history. So I'm bringing in somebody that I've worked with, but honestly, that's slowed down my draft a little bit. So I may be a little bit delayed in getting that THC draft together, but that's where we're working towards next. So the next product I'll have for you is that first draft for the THC. But that draft will include these programming floor plans. So that's why today was critical for that.
What I'd ask is if there is something that really stands out to you with the, and I think it's more on the short term and the long term diagrams, to do our part to help in the process, we've got to get that information to her. We've got to come to some agreement on what those changes might look like, so that we don't slow down, you know, this process.
I think the goal for me is to get that draft to the THC by the end of the month, and that will include some of the history section. The commissioner court minutes have been great, so we'll have that together. I'll have the full assessment for the interior, and then what we talked about today on the assessment together. And then it'll start with the master plan, which is really just how you plan to use the courthouse in the future. So it's really the short and long term plans.
That makes
it hatched, like over it, the same information, just 20 different ways.
Okay. Well, again, Alexis, thank you for your time and the efforts that you've put into this. If there's any feedback from the court, we'll have it to you within the next 7 to 10 days. So that we're not holding you up, and we look forward to the feedback from THC saying, hey, this is the best one we've ever seen. Just go with it. Okay. That concludes the business of the court for today. We stand adjourned. Thank you.